And I'm going to be teaching this morning a wonderful topic. And I'll let you know, it's the title of the teaching is Consider Him. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. It will tell us how to consider him in Hebrews 12. 12 verse 1 talks about a great exhortation to us as believers to look at the great examples in the Old Testament. Oh my God, they give you such strength, encouragement, and support. But I'm not going to concentrate on that today. I want to read on verse 2 and 3 is what we're going to be looking at today. It says, looking unto Jesus, the beginner and finisher of the right way of believing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And God encourages us, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So God tells us to consider Jesus Christ, what he endured, so that we won't be wearied and faint in our minds. So today, we're going to look at complimentary records from the gospel periods to see what he had to endure. The first one we'll look at is Luke chapter 22, and you can keep your marker there. When we go to Luke 22, will be one we'll be looking at complimentary records on this. Luke 22, in verse 14, we read, and when the hour was come, now it's talking about the hour of supper, the Last Supper, this is the 13th of Nisan. He sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So he did desire to eat the approaching Passover. And you can read the context. He sent them ahead to go get a room for the Passover. But this is his last meal together with them. He knew that 2 days from then, the 15th of Nisan, he would not be there to eat a last meal with them. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. At the Last Supper, we can see that Jesus Christ spoke of the kingdom of God, which other gospel records complement as well. It was still future. He was in the process, right then, of accomplishing what was required for man's complete redemption and salvation, and for what was required for God once again to have a kingdom or a reign in the second heaven and earth. Let's look at Mark chapter 14. Mark 14 is another one. You can mark two if you can on your marker or whatever you can use here. Mark 14 verse 17. Here we read, it says, and in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, and there's so many ways. I'm just going to point out a few. Number one, the Passover, you don't sit. Remember on the Passover, they were girded. Their loins were girded. They stood. So we know that this is not the Passover. Also, you will see as you go through the records, they were eating regular bread, not unleavened. No lamb is mentioned. So this is definitely the Last Supper we're talking here. And as they did sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And look at Matthew 26. This will be another complimentary gospel record for this time period I'm looking at. Matthew 26, and we're going to start in verse 20. It says, now when the even was come, again he sat down with the 12, the Last Supper. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, this is great when you do scriptural buildup, because it's going to add here, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for the man that he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. So Judas now knew that his master, the Lord, knew that he would betray him. And in verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." What he would do would be for all mankind for the remission of sins. But I want to look at, I know I did touch on these on the Holy Communion the last couple of weeks ago, but I want to review some. Go to Luke 22. Luke 22, and then this is another one to keep your spot. Luke 22, verse 17, it says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come," which we know came on the day of Pentecost. "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." So remember that. It was for remembrance of Jesus Christ and all that he accomplished for us. "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." So we can see that the Holy Communion here was given shortly before his being sacrificed. It was here at the Last Supper. He shared it with his disciples. The Passover meal, we know, has been replaced with Holy Communion. It was a memorial of his death and sacrifice. When we observe Holy Communion, we look back in remembrance of the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ and of our complete Passover Lamb who was sacrificed for us. We know the cup in Holy Communion represents the blood of Christ and the bread represents the body of Christ. I want to go to the record of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because I want to go a little farther on this. Because it is important in the communion that we recognize and remember all that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And it tells us by the God giving revelation here. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that night, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." And this is how it happens. "Not discerning the Lord's body." And this is very telling. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." The Apostle Paul addressed the Corinthian believers and by revelation from God told them that many were weak, sickly among them, and many sleep, which we know is a word, euphemism for death. So God, by Paul, is telling the believers that they were weak, sick, many died because they did not remember and discern the Lord's body in the context here of the memorial of Holy Communion. And let's look at John chapter 13. John 13, beautiful chapter here, and this is wonderful. The Last Supper, Jesus Christ does a fantastic teaching on service. Let's look at verse 1, chapter 13 of John, verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was to come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe there with the towel wherewith he was girded. And we know the Orientalism, that is like great honor. And for the master to be doing that was just not, doesn't happen in the lands and times of the Bible. So they, we're going to see why Peter's response was like, whoa. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, and they know that in the lands and times of the Bible, they would have already been, you know, clean. It was their feet that got dusty on the roads. And Peter said, okay, everything. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore saith he, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, look at his teaching here, the Last Supper, knowing all these things were going to happen. What a great example to consider. He said unto them, know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And what's really fantastic is if you read the context through the Gospels, there was a strife going on then, and he handles it right here with service from the Master, you know, who was the greatest. But there was a strife on who should be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Knowing after Jesus Christ, there was a strife among the apostles, and he handles it right here, lovingly, about service. And verse 21, we're going to pick up here. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples, this is great, more scripture build up here. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, and we know it would have been Lazarus. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after this sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast. Again, we know he's talking about the Passover. They thought, you know, he's trying to get things for the Passover. Or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. So we see, I want to show you in verse 26, now the sop that Jesus gave to Judas, it would have been a piece of flat bread that they did in the lands and times of the Bible, like an Indian chapati, like that. So it was pliable bread, and he could take it, wrap it around the morsel of food, take that, dip it into the common dish, and for the host to give that to the guest was showing such great love and affection and honor. And so for him to give that, it was such deep kindness that he was doing that, to give it to Judas, giving him an opportunity to soften his heart and to change his plans. But no, we see, he didn't. He hardened his heart and he left, we see, and he carried out his plans. He left. But what a great example that we can consider. Jesus Christ knew that he was going to do him wrong unto death. But he reached out and he loved him. And look at verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while, I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you. So he's showing service and now love, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. This is the first prediction made by Jesus Christ of Peter's denials, and it's at the Last Supper. All right, let's go to the complimentary record of Luke 22. We read. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, keep this record in your mind. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy believing fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, this is a complimentary record. Again, it's at the Last Supper, first prediction of Peter's denials. Verse 35, and he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. Then said he unto them, But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, there are two swords here. And he said unto them, It's enough. And he came out and went as he went, so read these, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. So they are walking towards the Mount of Olives. It's important to note, with the 12. And we see there were other disciples with them that followed him. Let's go to John 14. So Jesus Christ is still teaching. As he's going, knowing all the things that would befall him, he's teaching and taking care of them. John 14, verse 1, it says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We see Jesus Christ, when he spoke this, he didn't want them worried and concerned and anxious. He wanted them at peace. He was preparing them for things to come. And he told them that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we know verse 12, wonderful verse we've read, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall ye do also. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. We know at the time he spoke it, he had not yet gone unto the Father. But Jesus Christ has gone unto the Father. Those that were there that day, and they got born again, can do the greater works, and so can we. And verse 16 of John 14 says, And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So we know that the coming of Holy Spirit was not a mystery, okay? It was well known, and that it would be God and Christ in you. That was not the mystery, coming of Holy Spirit. Yet a little while, and the world see me no more. But you see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus Christ didn't want them being anxious. He taught them about the coming of Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and we know in other translations, the Comforter could be translated as Counselor or Helper or Guide. The Holy Spirit we see is declared as being a Comforter, a Helper, a Counselor. I'm going to just capitalize on, we know in John chapter 15 and 16, we read of the parable of the true vine, which is recorded. Jesus Christ taught them about fellowship with God and with each other, love and service. He exhorted them to stand strong and proclaim the gospel of God in the midst of persecution. You can read that in those records of John chapter 15 and 16. He told them that he must suffer, die, and depart, but that Holy Spirit would be sent to comfort, guide, and help. He taught them, too, that the power they would have in prayer in his name, in that name of Jesus Christ. Chapter 16 closes saying, all will be scattered and leave him alone. Let's look at that one. John 16, verse 32. John 16, verse 32, we read, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be ye of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Here we see that all would be scattered, every man to his own, and leave Jesus Christ alone. In the Gospels, we see him as the lone man of Galilee. He stood faithful, though, to God and his word, and many times he had to walk it alone. But he withstood, he endured, he suffered extreme agony and suffered every imaginable hurt. Even when everybody left him and went some other way, he stood, and the Father was with him. In John chapter 17, Jesus Christ prays to the Father for his disciples. You can read of that. And all who would believe on him. It's a prayer that emphasizes the greatness of God's word that he had taught his disciples and that he wanted them to know and that they could walk with him for God. He prayed. And this prayer is at, after he had left the Last Supper. It is not the one in the Garden of Gethsemane. We read chapter 17. Before getting to the Garden of Gethsemane, he wanted to teach them also regarding things that would soon be transpiring. And that's, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 26. Little marker there. 26, complimentary record on some things. Chapter 26, verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, so they're leaving the Last Supper, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended in thee this night, because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. This is the second prediction of Peter's denials. And remember, he left the Last Supper. So this is not, the first we saw was at the Last Supper. Look at Mark 14, another record on Peter's denials, but different. Mark 14. In verse 26, it says, and when they had sung a hymn, then went out to the Mount of Olives. So I want you to note that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all record that they sang a hymn of praise, left the location of the Last Supper, and Jesus and his disciples went to the Mount of Olives. Their eventual destination was the Garden of Gethsemane, which we know was a secluded garden outside of Jerusalem. But while walking from the house of the supper, when they had eaten in the garden, Jesus Christ taught many wonderful truths, many what we just looked at in John. So it's beautiful. And let's look at verse 27. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, now watch these words, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But Peter spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. So this third prediction, the wording's different. It contains the word twice. And when you read and put together the denials of Peter, you will see that Peter denied the Lord six times. There were two separate cock crowings with three denials each before the cock crow. So after this, they arrived at the Garden of Gethsemane, which is recorded in each gospel, and he prayed. And we're going to look at those. Mark, right here, verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Jesus Christ, he knew what he would have to endure at Jerusalem. And even though he knew about these things, he prayed to God. And verse 37, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? And what a great thing to consider here, right? Because in this intensity, they can pray. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist or knew they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time and saith unto them, sleep on now. Take your rest. It's enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. And so he prayed three times that if there was any other way that God could accomplish what needed to be accomplished for man's complete redemption and salvation, please. His time of suffering was near. But you know what? Jesus found himself facing it alone. Let's look at Luke 22. Men and women that he poured his hearts and lives out to. As something to consider. And in Luke 22, verse 40, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not in temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And we get scripture build up here. And kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. So we see they were sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So this complimentary record in Luke shows the intensity of the prayer that he prayed. He went to God three times in prayer. If there was any other way for God's plan of redemption, he knew we would have to endure the agony, the suffering. While he was praying, God sent an angel to strengthen him, to support him. And when he prayed, it said, right, his sweat was as great drops of blood. We know he didn't literally sweat blood, but it shows the intensity of the prayer that he prayed. And we see that the disciples slept for sorrow. And Matthew 26, we're going to look at this one. Matthew 26. And in verse 36, we'll read. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if the cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. And we know we have a verse change, but there were no verses when this happened. And so we see here it has changed, the environment. The next verse says, rise. He saw things change. Let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that but doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came. And with him, look at those words, a great multitude, okay, came with him with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him away. Now, verse 50 in the Aramaic reads, my friend, for this, meaning this greeting, you're come to give me a kiss? A kiss, we know, is an intimate of great, you know, love and a gesture between two friends that they would kiss. What juxtaposition, what irony that he's showing of Judas's actions. You're going to betray me with a kiss? In verse 51, it says, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Now, as you work these records through the Gospels, what Jesus Christ's statement, all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword, was in reference to the context at hand. It was to those group of people at that specific time in that location. It's not to all of society, okay? It's to right then. If Jesus Christ had not intervened, a lot of them would have probably been killed. So, and let's look at verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that this it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief, with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you laid no hand on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. No, I'm not going to read all the way through, but I will show you that the complementary records you can see, that add by scripture buildup, you can look at Luke 22, 47 to 54, John 18, 1 to 14, and Mark 14, 42 to 54. What they show is that Jesus Christ, it was Peter that drew that sword and cut off the right ear of Malchus, and Jesus Christ healed him. Had he not? Yeah, they probably would have died. And you know what? That scripture that Jesus Christ said to Peter, Simon, Simon, right? That's what he said in Luke 22, 31. The adversary would have gotten after Peter. And just think about it. Just think of the spiritual implication. Had Peter died, okay, on the day of Pentecost, who was their leader of the church? On the day of Pentecost, Peter. That was incredible. If you look and put together those records, had Peter been killed, that would have been a huge loss for God and the things of God. So I want to give a brief summary of events. You can go back and look at these that happened with Jesus' arrival on Monday night, which we know began on the 13th of Nisan, through his death on Wednesday, the afternoon. He was arrested in the garden. We see that late Monday night. He appeared before Annas. Late Monday night, he appeared before Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin in this mock night trial. Monday night and into very early Tuesday morning, probably no sleep at all. Another trial appearance before the Sanhedrin, early Tuesday morning. Appeared before Pilate, again, early Tuesday morning. Appeared before Herod, Tuesday morning also. Appeared before Pilate again on Tuesday morning part later, and Pilate appealed to the Judeans three times, three separate occasions, to release him because he found him innocent. Sentenced by Pilate around noon on Tuesday, tortured, mocked by soldiers in the judgment hall. And time, how long? We don't know. It's unknown. God doesn't say what they did there from Tuesday on, noon on. Till Wednesday morning, he was led out for the crucifixion on Wednesday morning. He hung on that cross from approximately 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Wednesday. Jesus Christ died at approximately, we know, 3 p.m. on Wednesday. From the time Jesus Christ was taken captive in the Garden of Gethsemane on Monday evening through until his death Wednesday afternoon, there's approximately 40 hours. 40 hours of trials, cruel torture, mockery, humiliation, agony, suffering. And looking back at the crucifixion, we see he had suffered extreme agony and suffering. We see that prophecy of Isaiah coming through. It came to pass. Jesus Christ suffered every imaginable physical hurt. And amazingly, no bones were broken. He was a man acquainted with sickness, pain, grief. He was the perfect sacrifice that can save to the uttermost. And in closing, may we consider him and all that he endured so that we are not weary and faint in our minds. Rather, may we be strong, remembering with thanksgiving all that he accomplished for us. And I want to close with prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you for all that you and our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us and for mankind. And so wonderful that we can consider him and all that he endured so that we're not weak. We can be strong for you, God, and stand steadfast and speak your word that he encouraged his disciples and apostles to do. Thank you for that great reality. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.